We continue now with Michael Schumann, a specialist in community economics, among other things, and the author of several books, including Going Local, Creating Self-Reliant Communities in a Global Age. He believes the way for Americans to prosper is to foster community self-reliance. Michael, you say that this book was the culmination of 15 years of organizing. Tell us about that.
Well, in a number of respects. One way I would describe my professional career, because it doesn't fit neatly into any standard industrial code category, is trying to figure out the relationship between community and the world. So the first organization that I set up was called the Center for Innovative Diplomacy. And for better part of a decade, we promoted what was called municipal foreign policy. We had a bulletin of municipal foreign policy, a journal that went to several thousand mayors and city council members, and we helped them get involved in things like sister cities with controversial places, El Salvador, Nicaragua, divestment from South Africa, nuclear-free zones, nuclear-freeze resolutions, human rights initiatives, and so forth. I then got interested in how to apply these municipal foreign policy tools to North-South development cooperation. And so I got involved with a group based in The Hague called Towns and Development and worked a couple of years with them. And that work culminated in a book called Towards a Global Village. And at the end of that book, I identified a set of minor concerns that I had about the work they were doing. And I mean, the Europeans have this network of thousands of sister city relationships with the South, but unlike the American sister cities, there's a big emphasis on solidarity, social justice, really helping the poorest of the poor, helping women. And despite all of those principles, these North-South linkages would consider it a great success story if a big company like Philips from the Netherlands would locate a plant in the Southern Partner. That was cooperation. So it just hit me that despite all these great principles, there is not really a clear sense of practice about what we mean about local sustainable economy. So I figured I could no longer participate in global affairs until I went back to the drawing board in my own country, because I didn't want to inflict any more damage on Southern partners. So that's when I started to think about community development in the U.S. context and start gathering ideas and principles and practices for going local.
Yeah. You use the word sustainable, and you talk about how, and you know, I share your concern about this term. What does it mean exactly?
Well, unfortunately, the term has been stolen by almost everybody. I mean, McDonald's thinks it's practicing sustainability these days. In my mind, sustainability requires careful answers to three questions, the what, the how, and the who of production. The what of production is, are you producing energy or food that is genuinely useful for your citizens, or are you producing Gatling guns or tobacco? The how of production is, are you producing in a way that comports with the highest possible labor and environmental standards? The who is, who actually owns this facility? And the argument that I try to make in Going Local is that attention to just the what and the how, without looking at the ownership piece, will never get you to sustainability. Because we live in an era when simply raising standards will scare non-locally owned businesses away or mean you're not an attractive place for non-locally owned businesses to come in and settle. If you want to reconcile these issues, the only way to do it is have more and more local ownership and then raise your standards.
Yeah, community corporation. That's the model that you talk about in the book. So that the money spent in the community stays in the community. That is different from Walmart. And the legend goes that Walmart, every night, the money comes out of each Walmart around the country and goes to the headquarters in Arkansas.
That's right. Walmart is sort of the dark star of the economy out there. I mean, you know, they're the number one retailer. I don't know if they got quite the number one corporation lately. But Walmart's mission is to, through the highest possible volume, bring money back to corporate HQ. And they don't care about the wreckage that they exact on main streets across the country. And it's one of the reasons why, in fact, both on the left and the right, there is profound opposition and concern about what Walmart is doing.
So how would a community corporation be different from Walmart? They'd be based locally and the money would stay locally. Those are probably the main things.
I mean, I'll tell you, now, I use the term community corporation in the book in two senses. One sense was just to say local ownership where there is indeed local control qualifies a business as being effectively a community-friendly corporation. And then I also, though, took it further to suggest that maybe there is a very specific kind of local ownership through stock issues where there's a residential restriction on stock ownership that would be a very interesting blend of community, the values of community, and the values of traditional capitalism. And an example I gave of that was that the first issue of Ben & Jerry's stock, you had to be a resident of Vermont to own the shares. Unfortunately, they gave up on that restriction on the second and subsequent issues, and now they're a subsidiary of Unilever. I mean, they were taken over hostily. So it underscores that local ownership is something you have to hold on to in perpetuity. I am currently trying to develop a chicken company called Bay Friendly Chicken. And one of the motivations for my doing this is seeing if I could apply this principle of community corporation to a very challenging context. So on the eastern shore of Maryland, where basically 1 out of 10 chickens in this country is raised and processed and packaged, where there is dominance by 3 companies, Tyson, Perdue, and Mount Air, we are trying to be a young upstart. And one of the key defining principles of what we call ourselves Bay Friendly Chicken is that you must be a resident of the bioregion to buy the shares of our stock.
And the chicken is kosher.
Chicken is kosher. The chicken is antibiotic free.
You're not feeding the chickens antibiotics. I'm guessing they're free-range chickens.
They are not free-range chickens.
They're not.
If I had to wave my magic wand and rebuild the chicken industry from scratch, they would be free-range. The problem is that in a very crude sense, we had a choice between being nicer to the chickens or being nicer to the chicken growers. And the starting premise was we've got a bunch of chicken growers on the eastern shore of Maryland. Their mortgage, several hundred thousand dollars. Their annual net income from chicken growing, because the business has been so awful, is $8,000 a year. These folks are never going to get from out under this debt. Now, if we were to say to them, sorry, we're not doing any kind of housed chicken. We're going to do only free range. We're basically condemning the grower to economic death. So instead, what we're doing is bringing growers in. We're going to help them pay back the mortgages on their houses by greatly increasing their return from participating in our program. And then over time, gradually use the additional money that we earn to take down those houses and put up free-range kind of structures.
So that's a model for the future.
Plan. Yes.
Yeah. And how are they then kosher?
Well, kosher, it varies from tribe to tribe in a way. But the general philosophy of kosher is you have to do 3 things. You have the rabbis offering the proper incantations. The chicken has to be hung properly when it is killed. And then there has to be a soaking and salting process after the evisceration. So once you do those 3 things, though, hear ye, hear ye, it's kosher. And what's remarkable about it is that the additional cost of doing a kosher chicken is probably like a nickel a pound on the cost side. But the additional revenue that you get from selling kosher is about $1 to $1.50 a pound.
Such a deal.
Such a deal.
We're talking with Michael Schumann, the director of the Green Policy Institute, author of several books, one of which is Going Local, Creating Self-Reliant Communities in a Global Age. And I should point out the president of Bay Friendly Chicken, based in the Washington, D.C. area, actually Eastern Shore of Maryland, which is not too far from there. I'm Paul Nelson.